Leaders and healers, gamers and claimers, ladies and gentlemen from around the universe, from around the globe, welcome to the Power, Purpose, and Passion podcast. I am your host, Anthony Cheem, speaker, life coach, author, trainer, musician, singer, songwriter, friend to you, ready to give to you in care and compassion and love for you the best of what I've learned and earned over the past 20 years or 40 years of being on this planet, this beautiful planet of learning through experience, through books, through seminars, through audios, through my own contemplation, the best of what I've learned. So I can give to you, so you can literally claim your power, clarify your purpose, and cultivate your deepest, widest, and highest passions possible. So you can upgrade, advance, and enhance your life, live joyfully, passionately, happily, but then ultimately, as you grow, as you upgrade, as you advance, you then take what you've learned and earned and then return it in care and compassion for the world around you. Because that's where the ultimate joy, the ultimate meaning comes from not just learning and achieving, and that's part of it too, but also contributing all of who you are in total fulfilling spirit and emptying out your soul to the world around you in love and care. So whether you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, passively, actively, on Facebook, Instagram, thank you for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to have you on the show. And every day I'm on this podcast. I'm always overwhelmed with joy to know that I could speak life into people's world from all around the world through a podcast. It's absolutely amazing. I think that's we're entering in a new phase of wisdom and in life, that we're more connected than ever, that these types of things, these types of programs are going to transform the energy, the vibration of the world, and we're going to eliminate suffering, poverty on many different levels. And this is just my own delivery system to do so. So today's podcast, and Cameron's not going to be joining on this particular podcast. He's not feeling the greatest, but he's there in spirit. He's helping me on the other technical side in the background. I'm sure he's waving to you in spirit right now, and I'm giving him all the love and all the gratitude for him being able to help me and partner with me on this journey. So today's episode is called Everything, Absolutely Everything Has Worth. ... No exception whatsoever. And by the way, Queen, I see you on Instagram. I'm waving to you physically. I saw you there. She's awesome, that Queen. Thank you for joining. And because you are a fine soul that has joined us on this journey, that's indicative that we are certainly making, and your consistency in tuning into this program, into our podcast, and supporting us as well, is indicative that we're doing the right things and that we're making an impact. Because I'm not just about the numbers. I'm all about breadth. How deep can I take the teachings and the lessons that I'm trying to convey to the world? So today's episode, as I said, I go off on tangents, and I know I'm a crazy, crazy nut. But anyways, today's episode is Everything, Absolutely Everything Has Worth. No exception. And I want to read you from a book by Wayne Dyer. That's called Wisdom of the Ages, and it's 60 Days to Enlightenment by Wayne Dyer. And each day, basically, he talks about how you should, he actually tells you and suggests it's 60 of the greatest teachers that have ever lived on this planet. And each one is all about either patience or meditation or self-reliance or enthusiasm, whatever it might be. It's all about learning one virtue and then meditating on it. So you're reading one chapter for the next 60 days, and you can learn deep perennial wisdom from 60 different teachers, 60 different virtues, 60 different concepts to change your life. And in one particular page I was reading that I wanted to share with you guys is this. Well, I literally just right now, I just turned the page. I just closed the book. My bad. Give me one second. It's about a book that he wrote called A Promise is a Promise. No, I lost the page, but important thing is this. It's about a story of a woman whose daughter went into, I believe, a diabetic coma. And her daughter, before going into this diabetic coma, said to her mom, "Mommy, you won't leave me, will you?" And the mother saying to her daughter, saying, "No, I will not leave you, and a promise is a promise." And for decades, I forget the amount, I believe the mother passed away, and I believe the daughter passed away a number of years ago, but I think for like 35 or 40 years, this mother every single day took care of her daughter in her home, fed her every couple hours, turned her body every couple hours so she wouldn't get bed sores, and really cared for this, her daughter. And she ended up going on Oprah. And I remember in the story, Promise is a Promise, that Wayne Dyer wrote. And by the way, he wrote a book. That book, A Promise is a Promise, is about his experience with this woman. And he wrote that book. And all the proceeds from that, from the earning of that book, went to that family to pay for the medical expenses. Because, I mean, she accrued, I don't know how much debt over the years with the medicine and all this other stuff, doctors coming over, all these things. But the point is, you know, she went on Oprah. And I remember her, Wayne Dyer talking about how all these people were being interviewed on Oprah that were going through similar cases that she was going through where, you know, a loved one was in a coma for decades or years, and they were all talking about how tough it was. And she talked about how essentially when they went to her, Oprah asked her, how are you doing? She says, I don't see this as a struggle. It's an honor to serve my daughter this way. When I asked God for a daughter, I didn't ask God for a daughter with conditions. I just asked for a daughter. It is an absolute honor, a privilege to love my daughter and to serve my daughter this way. And it blew people away in the audience. And to say that, and you know, I've read that book, A Promise is a Promise, a few times. And there's a few instances in that particular book where people would come to her for healing, come to that this seemingly useless person, if you want to call it that, that was laying on her bed in diabetic coma for decades. And the amount of love that was in that room, in that house, people would come from all over the world to go visit this woman and visit the mother and daughter, and people were healed. And I think I recall even in the book where a woman came and donated money to fix her home, or donated the money to pay the bills, medical expenses, so on and so forth. And then I think time went by, and then someone wrote a letter saying, listen, I came and visited your house and I had a brain tumor and I came for healing and I no longer have the brain tumor. So people would come around the world to, as a pilgrimage, to be healed by the amount of love that this mother showed her daughter, and the amount of love that this daughter was exuding from her bed, seemingly not being able to do anything. And what the point I'm getting at in this particular podcast is that regardless of who you are or where you are, race, color, sex, or creed, whatever, what your past is or how you've been raised, this woman who was in diabetic coma for a number of years, even in her diabetic coma, was able to serve and be a instrument of love for people around the world from her bed, not being able to move, not being able to talk. So if that mother and the mother who loved her daughter unconditionally every single day, getting up every couple hours to feed her, to turn her, to bathe her, whatever it might be, could you imagine, man, the discipline that would take to actually do that for years upon years upon years, decade upon decades? That takes extraordinary amounts of will, amounts of love, of compassion, of dedication, of commitment. That's commitment of the highest kind. And when I see that, Everything, absolutely everything has worth, regardless of what, how much academic achievements you might have or how much you failed. You have worth. You are worth something. And I must say, and I must profess to you that there was a time in my own life where, you know, I almost committed suicide a couple of times because I thought I was unworthy. God must have just made a mistake that day when he made me. Well, according to my spiritual teachers, God does not make junk. Everything that God makes is beautiful. So 7.5 billion people on the planet, you are beautiful. You have worth. It's time to start seeing yourself as worthy. Start to look at your blessings and at the abundance around you. And for the people that are like, yeah, it's so easy for you to say that, Anthony, you know, living in Burlington, Canada, one of the greatest countries and cities in the world, in Canada, that's easy for you to say. You're right. I may not have been through the same struggles that you have been through. I may not have endured through tough times like you have. But I can tell you, I've studied extraordinary people that have faced immeasurable, invincible odds and only to break through. I mean, again, I've talked about this guy on a number of episodes. Nick Wojcik was born with no arms and no legs. Could you imagine just all of a sudden cutting your arms off? cutting your legs off and then not being able to move arms and legs. And this guy was wanting to kill himself every day because he was shamed by, because people would look at him and give him weird looks because he would, you know, so a guy like that with no arms, no legs, becomes a minister, a Christian minister, and speaks around the world. If he can do that from with not having no legs, no legs and no arms, or a woman I was talking about in another podcast who was had no arms and no legs, I believe too as well, and she played piano with her tongue on the streets of Chicago, I think it was, or Atlanta, one of those cities, and her limitations weren't based on what she could do physically, but what she could do inside of her mind. And so she would make a living. She was not going to be a slave to the social system and just be sit at home and be worthless. She decided that, yeah, even though I don't have any arms or no legs, I'm going to do something with my mind. I'm going to play piano with my tongue. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to read. I'm going to do something with my life. People like, you know, Nelson Mandela or Gandhi or Mother Teresa or another guy named Jim McLaren, who was an extraordinary athlete, Hollywood type, gorgeous looks. And then he, I believe he gets in a motorcycle accident and then he loses a leg. And then he decides to become a paraplegic triathlete and start doing Ironman races with one leg. And then on one of the bike paths of riding his on the bike portion of the triathlon, one of the Ironman, he gets hit by a van and becomes a quadriplegic. He was also on Oprah. And if you think a guy like that can endure something like that and be able to rise above that and see his own worth, and despite not being able to lose his arms and legs, his famous quote in being on Oprah was, choose life, not death. If you've got a mind, if you've got a body, look, you've got gifts. You still have worth. If your heart is still beating, you still have worth. So wherever you are, whoever you are in the world, if you're listening to this particular podcast, you are worth it. If you are alive, if you're well, if you can listen to this podcast, if you're listening to this, the fact that you can listen to this, that means you have a sense of well-being, of a sense of worth. And I'm here to tell you that, not just because I'm just speaking crap to you. I'm speaking because I know what it feels like where your life doesn't matter. I know what it feels like where death would be a better option than living. I know what that feels like. I do. And I'm here to tell you from my own experience, from the study of life, from my mentors, from the people I've hung around, from the many clients I've coached, from the many seminars I've attended, I've met extraordinary people who, as I said, overcame crazy amounts of odds that you think if there's a person in the world that would have a right to be upset and angry with the world, it would be that person. But they didn't choose anger. They chose something else. They chose to rise above it and use it as an opportunity to grow, to achieve, to live, to express themselves even more. And I remember even one, and I'll end here. I remember one of my case studies in my life coaching courses. I remember hearing about a guy who on his wedding day, you know, the wedding day is supposed to be one of the most glorious and beautiful experiences there is. And I think he's in Mexico with his wife and he dives into a swimming pool and then he hits the ground and he becomes an instant quadriplegic. So on the same day he's getting married, dives into the pool and becomes a quadriplegic. And man, at the height of joy, turns into absolute disaster. And the guy went into severe depression, and rightfully so. And then through coaching, through the right mindset, the right environment, he was able to turn his mindset around, transform and upgrade his mindset and say, you know what? He started playing this thing called murder ball, which is basically like rugby in a wheelchair. And he started doing all these great things. And after his life turned around, he realized, he goes, you know, when I had working and functioning arms and legs, I felt like I could do, you know, 100 things. Now that I have no working arms and barely functioning legs or arms, I now realize I'm going to be doing 1,000 things, even though I can't use my arms and legs at the level I could before I had this accident, or what he calls a gift. So think about that for a second. Before he had this tragic accident, or this gift that was given to him, he believed his limits were based on, I can only do 100 things good. Now, with no arms, no legs, no functioning arms or no legs, he believes that he can do 1,000 things really well. So that, to me, that was an amazing gift to him. That it was a gift that was by grace, by God, the universe, whatever you call that, that gave him that gift. Now he's doing all these extraordinary things, experiencing life at the deepest level. And I can tell you, his worth, his self-worth was predicated not so much, again, by his physical well-being, by looking deep into his soul, into the mirror of his soul, his spirit, and saying, I'm alive for a reason. I survived that tragic accident for a reason, and I'm going to live this life with power, purpose, and passion. He may not say that in so many words, but I'm certainly, as I studied that particular turnaround in his life, it inspired me that if that guy can do certain things with no arms and no legs, I can certainly turn my life around or transform my life or take my life to the next level. So you have worth. You have worth. And I'll end here with a Les Brown metaphor. You know, there's a gentleman who, and I'll fast forward this, but there's a gentleman during a time when there was a scarcity of resources, and there wasn't a lot of vegetation and food. And this gentleman by the name, George Washington Carver. And he told the people, the city, to start planting peanuts into the soil. And by planting peanuts, it actually nourishes the soil. And after a while, people started to plant soil and they had an abundance of peanuts. But after a while, people started to go, what are we supposed to do with these peanuts? What are we going to do with all these peanuts? And he got condemned for this asinine idea. And then he retired to his quarters and he was shamed. And he was like, oh, I'm such a horrible person. Everyone's condemning me for this idea. And then he thought, okay, what else can I do with these peanuts? What else can I do? And then after retiring to his headquarters and meditating and contemplating, he came back to the people and said, look, you can make ice cream with this peanuts. You can make cardboard with these peanuts. You can make this, you can make that. And he discovered that you can make penicillin from peanuts. And so if you can make, I think he discovered 300 uses for the peanut and then I think 600 uses for the sweet potato. So if that guy could find 300 uses for a inanimate, thoughtless object, what do you think the universe can do with a thinking, dynamic, extraordinary human being that is you? So the next time that you devalue or you look at your life and you go, oh, I'm not worth anything, look at a peanut and what George Washington Carver did with that peanut in creating 300 uses for a peanut. What can you do with an extraordinary, dynamic, thinking, breathing, loving human being that is you? I'm sure it's more than just 300. I'm sure it's 3 million or 300 million. So you are worthy. Absolutely everything in this world has worth, including the air we breathe, including the sun that breathes life into us, the wind, the earth, animals, insects. Everything has worth. Absolutely everything has worth. So enough of me. Hopefully you guys got a lot from this program and this particular podcast. And thank you for joining us on a consistent basis. So to continued upgrade and evolution, live it up with power, purpose, and passion. God bless you guys.